Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
It's within touching distance. The World Cup could be heading back to England. Or it could, of course, not be heading back to England, which is probably the likely thing. But never mind that, we're all getting carried away. Welcome along to the Racing Post World Cup postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and along with my fellow Englishmen, Ian Wilkerson and Mark Langdon, and Irishman and Paddy Power star Malachy Rooney, we are looking ahead to the quarterfinals. Yes, after last night's England versus Colombia game, the nation has gone absolutely potty. I don't dread to think what it's like. I'll be very intrigued to see what it's like if we keep going, because honestly, just getting past the round of 16 was mad enough. There will also be calm forensic analysis of the betting markets as well from Messrs. Langdon and Wilkerson, and no doubt absolute cynicism and hatred from Malachy as the England bandwagon ploughs on. Right, before we go any further, we're down to 8 teams. I am absolutely of the opinion that the 4 of them, the best 4, are all in the same half of the draw, and it has given an intriguing tinge to the outright betting. So, Malachy, what's the latest on the outright from Paddy Power?
So, Brazil are 5 still at 11-4 in the betting. France come up next at 7-2. England are now toward favourites at 4-1. Belgium and Croatia are both 13-2, followed by Uruguay at 14-1. Russia are 20-1 and Sweden are 25s.
And Malachy, we'll stick with you. How is Ireland taking this England odyssey? Are you still rubbing your hands and licking your lips at them falling flat on their faces like they always do? Or is there a nagging fear that this could go further than everyone expected?
Well, there's a fear in work anyway if England do win, because we have racked up quite a liability on them. But I myself, I'd be indifferent enough, except the fact that they seem to be so short in every match that I can't help but back against them, which is kind of half the reason I'm cheering against them. But I don't know, I'd say it's great crack over there at the minute, like, and I'd say there's a good buzz about the place. And
yeah, it is. You know, and what I like about it, Malachy, is that it's not that usual sense of entitlement that we've had before. I think people are genuinely enjoying where we're going. Obviously, the sense of entitlement's going to start coming now, because it always does. But one thing about liabilities, you're talking about England being a bad winner. Is the England Harry Kane double bad as well? What price was that roughly at the start?
Off the top of my head, I'd say it must have been around 50-1, 66-1. Harry Kane himself is a big loser as well, and the top goal scorer. He's obviously very short now. Anything really England related, England in the match betting, they just can't get enough of them, really. Can't get enough of Gareth Southgate.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? Mark, I mean, last night, really, it wasn't a virtuoso, immense performance by any means with England. The only thing, I did my column for tomorrow, and I did just say that there is a nice confidence about them on the ball, isn't there? I mean, if you're looking for one positive and one negative from last night, what would they be?
I suppose the positive is that they won, and coming from penalties, I think, you know, that has been hanging over not just the team, is it? And it's the whole nation. I think you saw the way that Messrs. Neville, Dixon, Wright celebrated. I mean, like, Neville was going on about how many penalty shootouts he'd lost. I think that was holding back the national team, because, you know, even if you're really good, and when Spain dominated, you know, for that sort of pre-tournament period, had to come through a couple of penalty shootouts. So, you know, it's not unusual. You have to win one. And England have struggled. You know, even when they were criticised under the Ericsson era, you know, they lost a couple of penalty shootouts. And had they won one of those, maybe things would have been different, you know, with that golden generation. So I think that was the big positive. In terms of the negative, I think when Colombia actually decided to play, which wasn't until about the 75-minute mark, they actually looked quite a bit better than England for that, you know, that sort of finale to normal time and then extra time. And I think that's a concern when England come up against a good side, but they may be able to get to the final without playing one of those.
Indeed. Wilco, what's your view now? I mean, what price are we in the outright? It's not massive by any means, is it? Is there any value in backing England now?
I don't think so. I don't... not to win. I think they've got a great chance of getting to the final because of the way that the draw has worked out. But as you say, I do think the 4 strongest teams are in the other half. So I wouldn't be in a rush to be getting on them to win it. Although, obviously, you know, it'd be great for everybody if they carried on going.
Would be nice. So who would you be backing? Who was your original fancy, Wilco? I can't remember.
I fancied the Germans, which keeping my head down. But I have had a bit each way on Uruguay since the start of the... start of the tournament. And although it's a bit of a concern that Cavani picked up his injury against Portugal on Saturday, I still think they look on the big side at 14-1. I don't think they're actually that far detached from the quality of the other three teams in there, France, Brazil and Belgium. I don't think they're that far detached from them. And when you can still get a third 1-2 each way, I think that's a decent price. Or alternatively, if you don't think that they're going to actually win it, they were 7-1 to get to the final.
Okay, fine. Mark, obviously, your and my Spain dreams perished a little the other night. So you get a fresh go at who's going to win the World Cup now. Away you go.
Yeah, I think Brazil will win it doing handstands, to be honest, Bruce. I think they're quite a bit better than the rest. I know they're in the harder part of the draw, but I mean, everything I've seen of them in the last couple of matches suggests that they've got everything needed, really. The one question mark I had about them was defensively, but they look very strong there. They're controlling games in midfield, and they're the one team up front as well that have, you know, got real devilment and quality in them. I mean, you know, France beat Argentina 4-3, but I mean, that was a chaotic game, wasn't it? Of absolute nonsense, really, for a large part of it. I think Brazil have been the team with the fewest weaknesses so far. I take what Wilco says about Uruguay on board, but I just think without Cavani, that's a real big concern for me.
Okay, and Maliki, you and I were sensible enough to nail our colours to the Belgium band, to the Belgian mast at the start, weren't we? And I'm not, I respect Mark greatly. I think he's the greatest judge in football betting, but I'm going to stick with Belgium. Are you, Mel?
Going to stick to my guns here as well, yeah. Good luck. It's hard to turn away from them at this stage.
Okay, let's look at the player of the tournament. What's the latest betting there, please, Maliki?
So, in the golden ball betting, Kylian Mbappe is favourite now at 7-2. Harry Kane is second favourite at 4-1. Neymar is in at 6-1. Philip Coutinho is 15-2. Modric is 10-1, followed by Hazard at 14s. And then it's Lukaku and Griezmann at 25s and 33s.
Okay, Mark Langdon, happier news for you on this one. I know Spain may have perished, but you tipped Mbappe at the start, didn't you? What a shout that was. Do you think he can go on and get it done, or are you slightly worried that they might not go far enough to make that happen?
No. I'm pretty confident. Mbappe and Coutinho were two of the tips in the Racing Post sort of pre-tournament guide. So it's looking quite strong in this one. I mean, I think Mbappe, I think if they get through to the semi-finals, that could be enough for him to win it. They haven't got an easy game against Uruguay, but he's delivered the standout performance, you know, no doubt about it. I mean, it was absolutely sensational, really, what he did to Argentina, albeit he was given the space. I suppose the one I'd be looking at would possibly be Modric, because if Croatia get to the final, probably not that much between Croatia and England, if they get to the final, he'll be a main reason why they've done so.
Okay, Wilco, got a golden ball fancy?
Yeah, I don't think it's been Mbappe's performance against Argentina apart. I don't think it's been a World Cup where we can pinpoint who has been the outstanding player. He's a favourite, but, you know, it's on the basis of one game. Absolutely. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it became like 82 and we had somebody who sort of like burst through in the last few games like Paolo Rossi did. And with that in mind, I think you can get big prices about perhaps Suarez knocking in, you know, if he has a couple of big games, because I think the quarterfinal and the semi-final are be the games that decide this, because often it's voted for during the final and that performance in that game doesn't have so much of a bearing. So I think it's going to be these next two games. I'm big on Uruguay and, you know, he's a world-class striker and he only needs to score a couple of goals and he's going to be right up there.
OK, well, let's get stuck into the quarterfinals then, starting at 3 o'clock on Friday in Nizhny Novgorod. It's 3 p.m. Uruguay versus France. Maliki Rooney, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
So France are the favourites here at even money, and the draw is 21-10. Uruguay are 7-2, and then in the to qualify, France are 4-9, and Uruguay are 7-4.
And we'll stick with you, Maliki, for the tip.
For me, I'm going to go with France to win in 90 minutes by a one-goal margin at 5-2. I think Uruguay have been defensively sound for the four matches, and Suarez and Cavani have linked up very well, as expected. I think Cavani's going to be a big loss now if he is out for the quarterfinal. And France, while they weren't phenomenal in the group, they did play some nice football. I think they looked good against Argentina, although I think Argentina were poor enough and kind of made them look good in stages. But like, they have clicked reasonably well enough, and I think they might just have enough quality here to edge past Uruguay before extra time.
Okay, Mark, if Cavani is out, I do hope that we see less shots of him than we did of the injured James Rodriguez last night. I mean, there was more of him than there was the bloody game. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Who do you fancy, Uruguay, France?
When the market first opened up, France were odds on, which I thought was a little bit short. I think we're probably about right now. I was going to head to the half-time, full-time market, draw half-time, France full-time. I think it is going to be a tight game, but I just wonder about Uruguay's ability to go to the well again, you know, having to play the way that they do, you know, without possession of the ball. I think it's a difficult way, you know, to play throughout a whole tournament. And if they haven't got Cavani to help release that pressure, I just think at some stage the extra quality and their individual stardom that the France have got, you know, it can come from Mbappe or Griezmann. I thought Pogba was really good against Argentina. Best I've seen him in ages, actually. So I think eventually France could wear Uruguay down. I hope not, because I'm on them each way as well, but I fear the worst.
Do you fear the worst, Wilco, or are you keeping the faith in the U's?
I'm keeping the faith. I think they've got a good chance of grinding it out. It's going to take more than one performance against a poor Argentina team to convince me that France are the real deal in this competition. They're not going to get the same sort of space as they were afforded in that game on Saturday. So I think Uruguay, I think they've got a good chance. They've still got the ability to cause problems to what is not the most rock-solid defence left in the competition. And I think they could grind it out. So I'd have them to qualify.
OK, let's look at Brazil, Belgium next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right then, at 7 o'clock on Friday in the Kazan Arena, it's Brazil versus Belgium. I think of all the four quarters, this is the one that's most likely to produce the winner. Should be an absolute thriller, this one. Maliki, how are Paddy Power betting on it?
So, Brazil are favourites here at 11-10. The draw is 12-5. Belgium are 13-5. And in the to qualify market, Brazil are 8-15, with Belgium 6-4.
Mark, I guess from the fact that you think Brazil will win this doing handstands, you're going to tip Brazil. What's your negative on Belgium?
They've conceded four goals at this World Cup, having played Japan and Tunisia and, you know, England's B team. I mean, Marcus Rashford was staring right down, wasn't he, on Courtois' goal. I just don't think they've got the defensive capabilities, whether that's the managerial aspect of it or whether it's even the midfielder, somebody like Witsel, you know, not protecting the defence, or the wing-backs not being good enough.
The wing-backs are crap, aren't they? There's so much quality there, but that Meunier, goodness me, he's terrible, isn't he?
Well, yeah, and he's about twice as good as Carrasco on the other side. I think we saw when Chadli came on, he was he was a really big improvement, which maybe doesn't say much for the other guys. I mean, I think they've got to go to a back four, just stick Vertonghen at left back, and then you can bring in Dembele into midfield, release De Bruyne, play him a bit higher up, and you've still got that firepower. But if you have a look at Brazil, under Chiche, their manager, they've played 25 matches, they've conceded six goals in that period, conceded one in their last nine. And I thought their performance against Mexico, after a difficult opening 20 minutes when Mexico threw everything at them, I thought it was the best overall team performance I've seen at the World Cup this in Russia. They controlled midfield really well and they look like scoring. And that's without Gabriel Jesus playing particularly well. I think Neymar's coming to the boil nicely.
So what, just a comfortable Brazil win, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think really, if you fancy Brazil 11-10, you may as well just back them outright, 11-4. But yeah, if you are just looking at this one game, then Brazil to win. But I've just backed Brazil at 11-4 to win the World Cup.
Excellent. Wilco, Brazil, Belgium.
I'd be a little bit more optimistic about Belgium's chances if they can get a bit more out of De Bruyne. He's playing too deep. They need to push on. And he's, you know, they've got the best playmaker in European football and he's sat in front of the back four and he's not getting involved in the game enough. They've got to bring him in more. But, you know, they have got the ability. I'm not particularly taken with Brazil. There might be the best of a bad bunch in this World Cup when you talk about teams with technical ability. But it's not 1982 and it's not 1970. They are not a great Brazilian team. I think Brazil, if they get if they get the tactics right, bring De Bruyne into the game more, they are at least capable of taking the game to extra time. So I think the draw's quite big at 12-5.
Draw. Maliki, a lot of the kind of the football judges who I respect, including Mark Langdon, are a bit down on Martinez. And I suppose that was a concern for Belgian backers coming into the tournament. Do you think he's kind of holding things together okay, or as the lads suggested, are there some tactical kind of shortcomings that are going to, you know, come and haunt them?
Well, I actually couldn't agree any more with the lads. I mean, if you told me before the tournament that Belgium would be in the quarterfinals, having won their opening four games and scoring 12 goals, I'd have been delighted. But I mean, I'm cringing thinking about what team Martinez is going to start against Brazil, because it, there was a lot of talk about who came first and second in the Belgium-England group. And I think, honestly, if Belgium had have came second and played the way they played against Japan last night against Colombia, they'd be knocked out anyway. So, I mean, he really has to make a change. I think if he lines out with the same team, with De Bruyne playing as a deep-line playmaker, I think they're going to be beaten, and beaten well. If he does switch it up, I think there's loads of options there. I can't for the life of me understand why Dembele doesn't get more playing time. I think he's exactly the kind of player they need. So, I don't know. I kind of looking as well, Hazard and De Bruyne, a lot of remonstrating with each other during the game when they went 2-0 down. It was called a couple of times in the commentary when we were watching it that, I mean, De Bruyne wasn't even looking up the first ball, wasn't to play it to Hazard. And maybe there is a little bit of that. They're both kind of possibly or arguably top 10 players in the world, like on their day. But, I mean, they need to find some way to get the two of them to link up. And I just don't think they need to play so attacking like Carrasco, Meunier, Mertens, Hazard, De Bruyne. You can't fit them all in the team. So I personally would drop Mertens or switch to a back four and just play De Bruyne four to forward. I think if he does that, they have a great chance. I think that they can beat Brazil, but I'm very, very keen to see what way he lines up.
Mark, are you expecting Martinez to make some changes, or is he digging in and being a bit bloody-minded here? What's the word?
I think he will. I think he will make changes. I mean, he's not Pep Guardiola, but I mean, he's not an absolute idiot either. So I mean, you know, he will surely have seen that if he plays like Willian against Carrasco and Meunier against Neymar, then he's asking for absolute, you know, a world of pain, isn't he? Really, if he doesn't try to do something that gives them a little bit more protection. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if he doesn't drop Mertens or Carrasco, or maybe even both, because I agree, you don't need to force the issue. I don't think they've got the players, a bit like France, you know, they've got players that can just win games in moments. So you don't need to, you know, be hare and scare them all the time, and you know, you don't want to be. Yeah, if they end up trading blows with Brazil, I think they'll lose. They have to be a bit more canny about it.
Righto, let's look at the Saturday game at 3 p.m. Sweden versus England in Samara. I shall be at Sandown on Saturday. I should imagine whoever's in charge of the FD at Sandown must have been absolutely devastated when England went through, mustn't he? Because he's going to see a few come off the gate there for sure. What's the latest betting on Sweden England, Malachy?
So England are a shade of odds on at 10-11. The draw is 12-5. Sweden are 7-2, and in there to qualify betting, England are 2-5, and Sweden are 15-8.
Okay, so Wilco, since we beat Paraguay in 1986, England have played 16 World Cup knockout games and won two in 90 minutes. Does that stat bother you when you come into contemplate England at odds on, or do you think they'll be absolutely fine? What's the Wilco verdict?
Well, I'm anticipating it. It doesn't really bother me because I think some of the teams that they've played have been a lot better than this Sweden team. But then, obviously, you've got to deal with the circumstances of the game and not just the ability of the team that you're going to be playing against. Odds on is a little bit short for me, really. I just think it's going to, because I'm anticipating it's going to be a really low scoring game. England have, you know, Harry Kane scored 6 goals, but they're not creating a lot of chances.
3 from the spot.
Exactly. 1 hit him on the leg.
Yeah.
You know, and from 2 corners. So then I don't think the over reliance on set pieces is going to be a problem. And I think that the Swedes will be more disciplined in defending those opportunities than the other teams that they've played. Although Kane was brilliant last night at sort of like just getting fouled in good positions. Yeah. And Craig really played with a lot of savvy last night. But I don't think that Sweden will be as reckless and afford them that many opportunities. Having said that, I don't think Sweden have got that much going forward either. So what I would anticipate, that I think it's going to be a real tight game. And I like under 1.5 goals in 31-20.
That sounds all right. Just a shade over 6-4. Lango, what are you expecting to happen?
Not often I say this, I didn't think England were a bad price actually at 10 to 11. I mean, I had it around about 8 to 11 in my head. I mean, if you have a look at Germany, were 2s on, 8 to 15 to beat Sweden, and they did so. I know they, you know, it was late, but they did so with 10 men as well. So I thought at the prices, England were okay. I take on board they're not creating absolutely loads of chances from open play. I think England's biggest problem, though, is at the back. And I mean, when anybody that's any good, they come up against a decent team, then that's when they'll go out. But Sweden haven't got, in Toivonen and Berg, they haven't really got the kind of players, I don't think, that will overly trouble that back three. So I think that there are reasons to be positive in terms of England winning the game. And they've played one less match than Sweden as well. I know that one went to extra time last night, but I do think that will come into play at some stage. Sweden, the way that they play, a bit like I mentioned with Uruguay earlier on, I mean, that's very difficult to do, you know, without the ball for so long. So I'm going to go for England to win.
Are you doing the tip in the paper?
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah.
We may as well tip England, haven't we? There's no value. You remember down the years, we've always opposed them. And when they've won, I remember in Euro 96, everyone's slagging it off. And, you know, you just tip them, don't you? You know, give them what they want.
No, I mean, last night we tipped the draw and that one in 90 minutes.
I know, it's brilliant.
Yerry Mina headed goal minutes as well, so it was the perfect kind of outcome.
That was great.
I mean, I always treat England, you know, just like any other team, really. And like I say, I mean, if Germany are going off 2s on against Sweden, then, I mean, I don't think there's that much difference between Germany and England to go 2s on and 10 to 11.
And of course, Malachi, we had a great big World Cup fantasy football tipping competition in the office. 60 of us. Guess who won it?
Yours truly, is it?
No, Mark Langdon.
Yeah. Hold on. It's not over yet.
Isn't it?
No, that's the predicting the scores one, but he's hosing up in the fantasy football as well.
Oh, he's just going to win. It's not fair. Should have been handicapped.
Football, I think I'm like 30th in the UK and in like the top, so I mean,
who are these other 29?
30? How many?
I wouldn't know how many till hundreds of thousands have entered. Really,
well, I'm 492,000th and you're 30th.
Yeah, I'm going quite well.
That is good.
You might win a free ticket to an England game or something.
Exactly, signed mug. Oh, that would be brilliant. Right then, Malachi, what are you going to tip in Sweden versus England?
I've gone for the draw here. I think it's fair enough the price on England at the moment. I just think, you know, they look pretty tired coming into extra time against Colombia, and Sweden are, they're a very, very physical side. So I don't know. I just think the longer the game goes on, there's going to be a pressure on England to score. Sweden will sit back. I don't think they'll bomb forward. I don't think they'll give up very many opportunities at all. If you were to look at a forced goal score, that there's probably a high enough chance of a penalty again in this game. So I mean, if you wanted to go down that route, Kane's obviously five in the goal score betting at 11-4. But if you wanted to go for Granqvist for Sweden is 16-1, their penalty taker. So I mean, that might be a way to go as well. But I've gone for the draw in normal time at 12-5.
Excellent. And tell me this, are you going to be working on Saturday, Malachi?
On Saturday, I am finished at I'm finished at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. If you were to stick around, okay, and you had a little sneaky bet, so you're watching it in the office with all your colleagues, and you had a sneaky bet on Kane to score the first goal, and he did, how loud would you be allowed to cheer that goal?
Oh, not at all.
Really?
No.
Really?
No, yeah. If you had Granqvist now, you can cheer all you want.
Oh, okay. So it's an unwritten. You can't cheer against the company position, can you? Is that basically
not if it's a big position? No, and it's not an unwritten rule either. Really, you'd hear about it if you were quite vocal about a negative result. So
yeah. See, all this maverick, you know, fun image they put out. Honestly, they rule with a rod of iron.
Yeah.
Right then, one more game to go, coming up in a minute.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right then, Saturday night, 7 p.m, Russia versus Croatia brings the quarterfinal curtain down. It takes place in the Fish Stadium in Sochi. And Malachi Rooney, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
So Croatia are favourites here at 6-5. The draw is 21-10. Russia are underdogs at 11-4, and in the qualify betting, Croatia are 1-2, and Russia are 6-4.
This is a test, as Phil Neal once said. And Maliki, I'll stick with you. You can go first. My view with Croatia is that apart from the second half against the King's Arms or whatever pub team Argentina called themselves this tournament, they haven't been as impressive as everyone is saying. I really have been slightly disappointed with Croatia. Obviously, that means they'll go on and win it now. But what's your view, Maliki? I'm just wondering whether you are taken, you know, blown away by Croatia and taken in by the hype. And I think there is a bit of hype about them, or whether you've got one or two question marks as well.
I'd be the same as you. I mean, I was so anti-Argentina for the whole thing. It's very hard to turn around and say then if Croatia beat them or Croatia are brilliant, because it can't be both. So, I mean, barring that game, I don't think they've been overly impressive. Ever since Russia won, was it 5-0 on the opening day, I've been wary of taking them on. They look suspiciously energetic in their matches. So I'd be a little bit concerned to be a big punter on Croatia here, especially in the match odds of 6-5. If they do click, like, they obviously have enormous quality, especially in midfield and that. Modric is having a great tournament and stuff. But for me, I think, again, it's another tight one. I would have it quite similar to the England-Sweden game. Russia under no pressure to go bombing forward or anything. So I think Russia will try and just stall the game as long as possible. And, you know, if it came to a situation where they had to take penalties again, like against Spain, I think they'd be happy out with that. So I've gone for just a short price halftime draw, 10-11 for this one.
Righty-ho, Wilco?
Yeah, I'd echo a lot of what Maliki was saying, like both of you. You know, Croatia have not, they played Nigeria, who didn't turn up in their first game. Argentina were a mess, and they still needed two goals in the last 10 minutes. Played reserves against Iceland, won with a last minute goal, and very fortunate to get through against Denmark on penalties. But Denmark played really well in that second half, particularly. Croatia, I just get the feeling that the bubble's burst a bit. Russia, we know what we're going to get in this one. They're going to do exactly the same as they did against Spain. They're going to sit up, watch Modric and Rakitic pass it to each other for 90 minutes and try and hold on. So I can't see much endeavour from the hosts in this one. And the bet for me, I'll be going for 0-0 at half-time at 13-10.
Righto, and Mark?
I'd like to come up with a different view there, but I totally agree, really. I'm looking at the draw in 90 minutes as being the best bet. I mean, the way that Russia played against Spain, they were never going to score, you know, outside of that penalty. They didn't even try to attack, but they were very energetic and you know, defended well. And then also had a little bit of luck with the VAR quite late on as well, with the PK and Ramos.
I think one of the problems with that one, Mark, is that there were almost two incidents taking place at the same time, weren't there? It was like synchronised holding. And I just think that the VAR guys got a little bit kind of spooked by that and weren't sure what to get. It was either that or someone's Kalashnikov on their temple, you know?
Well, we saw how South Korea got the refereeing decisions in 2002 and it helped them to an unlikely semi-final, didn't it? I mean, Italy and Spain are still crying about what happened to them on that occasion. I mean, I don't think it was quite as bad as that, but, I mean, you know, home advantage, I think, is making an impact, and so it's not going to be easy for Croatia. But as far as Croatia are concerned, I think that they are playing under a lot of pressure. They know that this golden generation is coming to an end, and it feels like they're playing to sort of, you know, to not lose games. I think that's what happened against Denmark as the game wore on, that they just got more and more nervous that this, you know, that this team that could win a trophy, you know, is one mistake away from going out of the competition. And you know, the likes of Modric probably never, you know, fulfilling their potential in terms of the international level. What I would say is that, you know, they put in one moment of absolute brilliance, didn't they, late on when they got the penalty. That through ball from Modric was one of the best passes of the tournament, and they've got that about them. So I'd maybe edge towards them in terms of extra time, and Subasic in goal looked absolute monster as well at saving the penalties. So, I mean, Croatia may qualify, but they may have to go all the way again.
You've been disappointed with Rakitic, Mark?
I'm always slightly disappointed with Rakitic, actually. I think he could do... I always feel like he could do more. He kind of just lets others sort of take more responsibility. He does it at Barcelona quite often. And I think he sort of likes the fact that this team's kind of Modric's team. So he's, I suppose you could maybe say that's a team player, isn't it? And he's just doing his role for the side. But I always feel like, you know, he could do a little bit more.
Okay, so the lads are all saying it's going to be boring. They've gone different ways about expressing that as far as bets go. Maliki is going for the draw at halftime. Wilco's going 0-0 at halftime. And Langway is just going with a neat draw in 90 minutes. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
I'm going to echo, I think, what Wilco said. Under 1.5 goals, Sweden versus England. Mark Langdon, what's your nap of the quarterfinals?
Yeah, I'll go for Brazil to beat Belgium. I just think that Belgium's defence may struggle to cope with the real quality that Brazil have got up front.
Wilco?
I'm going for Uruguay to qualify. Almost sort of like with the American football head on, the better defensive team can come up and get the value against a team that are more progressive going forward. So I think they've got a great chance. 17-10, big price.
And Maliki?
After my criticism of Martinez on Twitter, I'm gonna stick to his guns and back him, and I'm gonna go for Belgium to qualify at 6-4.
We've got to hope, haven't we? We've got to hope. What, from a betting perspective, guys, do you most want to happen between now and Sunday week in the final? Lango?
Go for Mbappe.
Which bet's going to win you the most money? Or is it more pro-pride with that one?
No. I've got a few quid on them. In terms of the most money, that's already been collected on a few top team scorers. And I'm assuming, judging by a WhatsApp group I'm in, I think everybody's had Paddy's trousers down with the Mbappe young player of the tournament in the betting shops around Essex and London, so I'm assuming that one's already in. But
I'll
take young player of the tournament, player of the tournament, please, Kylian Mbappe.
And Wilco?
I'll have a hat-trick for Lukaku against Brazil, so he wins the boot, and Uruguay to win.
You don't want much. Maliki, what do you need?
Belgium again, Hazard playing well and getting player of the tournament would be a nice kick to go with it.
Yeah, I just need Belgium, but I'm slightly concerned. I think Mark's right. I think the value might be with Brazil, but I'm going to stick with the Belgium. Come on, boys. Right then, thank you very much, chaps. We are back on Monday with another World Cup postcast, looking ahead to the semi-finals, which take place on Tuesday and Wednesday. And there's also a racing postcast out tomorrow. That is Friday, where we're looking ahead to the Coral Eclipse and all the weekend racing. Don't forget, if you do enjoy these postcasts, do please leave us loads of nice comments, rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud and YouTube. Back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the quarters.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.